Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'd like to remind everybody to please fill out the attendance pads that are in the pews so that we can know you all are here, as well as welcome guests that are here today. Thanks for joining us. Got a few announcements to make. One of the ministries Asbury supports is Stone Soup. This is an outreach ministry to provide hot meals to the homeless. We've got a group going today to Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church to serve a hot meal to those in need. So if you're interested in participating in that, you can meet at 601 South Louisiana at 1:30 this afternoon for a true Christmas blessing. Christmas Eve candlelight services will be held at 4 p.m., 7 p.m., and 11 p.m. tomorrow, the 24th. The 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. service will feature a 10-minute brass prelude. So at 4 and 11, come a little early. You'll be blessed with some beautiful music. A nursery is also provided for the 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. services. Please look at the back of your bulletin for details about these and other things going on in Asbury. And I'd like to invite you to stand and pass the peace of Christ with one another. Eternal God, by the birth of Jesus Christ, you gave yourself to the world. Grant that, being born in our hearts, we may save us from all our sins. Restore within us the image and likeness of our Creator.
To whom be everlasting praise and glory, world without end. Amen.
Please remain standing and let's join in singing hymn number 240. Hark the herald angels sing.
Oh,
reading from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, God's greatest example of love. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Loving Father, may we be ever mindful of the love Christ gives to us through our Lord and our salvation. May we honor the gift of Christ to us this Advent season by truly loving others in the way in which he led us by thought, word, and deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Are everybody ready for Christmas? Yeah. You know, we get all so wrapped up in getting ready for Christmas. Sometimes we just forget those little bitty things like the honor and praise of God our Father for bringing us his Son, Jesus the Christ. Emmanuel, Lord is with us. You know, I've got a couple of my friends today that are going to help me a little bit with this children's sermon. And I'm going to walk around here with the microphone and put it up so you might can hear their teaching.
From the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, words from the prophet Micah. Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, a ruler will come out of you. He will be a shepherd of my people.
Well, thank you very much. And another helper?
From the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 14, the angel said, "May glory be given to God in the highest heaven, and may peace be given to those he is pleased with on earth."
Thank you. And then we had to go to a three-year-old helper here. Wait a minute. We might have a substitute.
Yeah, I'm Greg's friend. You heard that. From the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord speaks, "She is going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus. That is because he will save people from their sins."
And from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, words about Jesus the Christ. "The Son did not come to be served. Instead, he came to serve others. He came to give his life as the price for setting many people free." So all of us, as we get ready for this fun Christmas and get ready to open all these packages and have all the fun with all of our friends and our family, always remember that if you show a little extra love to those family members around you, the Lord's happy. If you try to go serve others and do as much as you can to help serve others, the Lord is happy. Can you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for sending us your Son. Be with us. Be with our families. Be with your world this Christmas. Thank you for your Son. Amen. All right, thank you. There's no kids club today, so everybody gets to go sit back with their families.
Now, as we enter into a time of prayer, I'd like to share with you the prayer list that's printed on the back of your bulletin. Please keep these folks in your hearts and in your prayers this week. Charlie Ward Sr., Janet Brandt, Marilyn Thompson, Clifford Smith, Mary Jane Patton, Anita Curris, and Larry Brown. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the presence of your Holy Spirit this morning. As Christmas Day fast approaches, we become more aware in our hearts the true meaning of the day, in spite of the hustle and bustle of the world around us. Help us to listen to the message you have placed in our hearts to experience your love and your grace during this special time of year. Today we light the candle of love. Your love for us is something we have a hard time understanding. We place boundaries and conditions on the love we extend to one another, but your love knows none of these. Teach us to love each other like you love us, celebrating our differences and understanding we are all created in your image. Mold our spirits every day into the likeness of your Son, our Shepherd, our Redeemer, our Friend, and our Savior. Father, there are needs all around us. We seem to have more during this time of year. Please let each of your children do a small part in touching just one life in response to your urging, so collectively we can change the world. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, Let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Loving Father, we ask with our whole heart for your blessing. As we return a portion of that which you have given us, we ask for blessings upon the gifts, blessings upon the giver, and Father, blessings upon those who receive these gifts as they reach those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To the fourth Sunday of Advent. During this season, Pastor Mary and I have been preaching through the magical movies of Christmas. First, we were home alone in Bethlehem and saw how a city
that was known as the City of Bread gave birth to the Bread of Life. Next, we experienced a Charlie Brown Christmas in the fields. We discovered God's message of the birth of Jesus first came to the shepherds watching their flocks. The good news was given to the lowest of the low in society, and it was these lowly who saw the lowly birth of our Lord. Now, the fourth and final message in our series is going to be tomorrow on Christmas Eve, and it's entitled, The Grinch or the Angel? Now, you will not want to miss this heartwarming message given by our senior pastor, and that's all the hint I'm going to give you. No spoiler alerts this morning. Well, today is the third in a series entitled, It's a Wonderful Life. What if? With Home Alone, A Charlie Brown Christmas, The Grinch, I wanted to go off tangent just a little bit, as those of you that know me know I'm inclined to do every once in a while, more times than not. And I wanted to take a look at George Bailey's struggles and his opportunity to see the what if in his life. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Matthew, the first in the four Gospels. We'll be reading out of chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, ending in verse 25. And I just pray that as these words are read aloud during this special time of year, a message we've heard many times before, that you hear it with new ears. Verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. In It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey, played by none other than Jimmy Stewart, is the main character. Now, he's the oldest son of Peter Bailey. Just a few facts. Peter is the president of Bailey Building and Loan. Well, George learns his caring heart from his dad beginning at an early age. And without really understanding the influences that he had over a great many people, George had an impact on a lot of lives, even as a young boy. He saves, for example, of those of you that have seen the movie and remember, he saves his younger brother Harry from drowning in a frozen pond when Harry fell through the thin ice. As a result, Harry grows up to be a war hero and a Medal of Honor recipient. George even learned the value of hard work during his youth because after school he would go to the pharmacy in town and work for Mr. Gower. Well, one day George came in and Mr. Gower was having a hard day and he had been drinking because he had just learned his son had died earlier that day from influenza. Mr. Gower was making a mistake, and George pointed it out, told Mr. Gower he was filling capsules with poison. Mr. Gower, in his anger, slapped George in the head and then tasted the powder. The dramatic change in Mr. Gower was one of anger to one of thankfulness to keeping from keeping him from dispensing a poison to a patient and killing them. Well, after high school graduation, George worked at the building and loan from his with his father, and he started just gathering up his money, started saving his money because his even his lifelong dream as a child was to travel to exotic places, so he was saving just so he could do that. When Harry, his younger brother, graduates from high school, George attends the high school party. And as some of you know, it was held at the swim gym where there was a pool and a retractable floor over it. Well, there was a little guy that didn't like that too much, like the dancing between between George and another lady. So he flips the switch, the floor retracts, and George and Mary, a girl who had secretly loved George ever since they was a child, they fell into the pool and was soaking wet. Well, they got out of the pool and decided that George was going to walk her home. They walk home, soaking, dripping, talking about life's plans, when all of a sudden, Uncle Billy, George's uncle, finds him and says, "Your father has had a stroke," and eventually his father passes away. George meets with the board of directors and learns, and they tell him, "If you don't take over the building and loan, we're going to shut it down." But George does that, and he takes his father's place, and his dreams of traveling to exotic places is put on hold. George fills his father's shoes with the money he saved for that travel. Remember, he pays for Harry's college. He's out of high school, pays for his college. And he continues in his father's tradition, giving loans to the people in Bedford Falls so they could build their very small little dream homes instead of living in drafty little houses built by Mr. Potter, the meanest and richest man in town. George had a wonderful life and a huge impact on a lot of people in that little town, as well as people all around the world, as those ripples went outward. But one event, the losing of a bank deposit on the day of an audit, devastated George Bailey. And he decided to let that one single event define his entire life by taking his own life. His guardian angel named Clarence. Clarence was sent to him by his boss, because Clarence was a guardian angel in training, was sent to him by his boss, Joseph. And as George was standing on the edge of that bridge, getting ready to jump into an icy river, Clarence is sent. Clarence knows George and knows his character. So just before George jumps into the river, Clarence jumps in first. And exactly what Clarence thought, George jumped in and saved him. Well, they're standing in that bridge operator's shack next to the stove, trying to get warm and dry off. And a skeptical George Bailey tells Clarence, "I wish I'd never been born." Clarence looks up, confers with his boss, and says, "I think that's a good idea. I'll carry that out." So George gets to see the big what if, because his wish is granted. Well, this morning, just like George gets to see the big what if in his life, I'd like to take a few moments and see a few little what ifs in the lives of a few people, and how God's master plan played out in their lives. This morning's message is really not going to be a traditional Christmas message, if you're looking for that, because this question is for each and every one of us, all of us. How often do we let fear drive our decision-making? fear and playing out in our lives and the effects that it has, even in the plans God has for us. Fear of not using the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. It's a big question. We'll continue. The first what if that I've got for you is the what if of Daniel. Now, Daniel is part of a nation of Israel who approximately 600 years, even before the birth of Christ, was conquered. The nation was conquered and carried off into captivity to Babylon, and a society and a nation ruled by King Nebuchadnezzar, mentioned many times in the Old Testament. In the second chapter of the book of Daniel, we can read that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And the scriptures say that he was greatly troubled by that dream. So much so that he called all of his court into him. He called the magi, or his magicians, to him. He called his counselors. He called his astrologers, all to him. And he told him he'd had a dream, and it troubled him. And he wanted the interpretation. They looked at him and said, "Wait a second. We don't even know what the dream was. What was it?" And the king looked at him and said, "You're so smart. I'm not playing your game. You got to tell me what the dream was on top of telling me what the interpretation is." They said, "We can't do that. There is no human that can do that. Only if it is revealed by a god or goddess, as the scripture says, can that be done." This greatly angered King Nebuchadnezzar, and he ordered all of his court, all of the magi, all the counselors, all the astrologers, to be put to death immediately, along with anyone that worked for them. That included Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Daniel found out what was in store for him and his friends, he boldly went to the king and asked for a little bit of time. The king granted it. He went back and told his friends, "We need to pray. We need to pray now for God to help us." In a dream that night, an angel appeared to Daniel and interpreted the dream and told him the dream first. That angel, scholars believe, Gabriel, an angel we hear a lot about this time of year. Daniel went back to the king, told him what the dream was, and then told him the interpretation. He was so impressed, he had animals sacrificed to the Hebrew God, Daniel's God. And he took Daniel, and he raised him up to a position and said, "I want you to be magistrate over all of Babylon." Daniel said, "I tell you what, would you make my three friends magistrates over Babylon? I'd like to stay here in your court, please." Daniel was raised in a position of prominence in King Nebuchadnezzar's court. But what if? What if? And there's a lot of what ifs here. What if the nation of Israel had not been conquered and carried off into captivity? What if King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't extremely distressed by a dream? He was just slightly concerned. What if the king told the wise men about the dream so they could then throw some flimsy interpretation back to him and just satisfy him? What if Daniel was dominated by his fears and did not approach the king and ask for more time? What if Daniel would have taken that promotion and been the magistrate over all of Babylon and left the king's court? Well, let me tell you, what if? If Daniel's fears dictated his actions, he'd have been killed along with all of the other people in the king's court. If Daniel would have taken the promotion and left the palace, he would have not been able to have the influence over all of the magi and the counselors in the king's court that he did. He so astonished them, they wanted to know about his Hebrew God. He spent the time in the king's court telling them all about Jehovah God. You see, it's believed the wise men, the magi, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, came from Babylon, a place who heard about the Messiah's birth even 600 years before he was born, all because of Daniel. In the second of our series, we saw the shepherds, the scriptures say, watching over their flocks by night. Now, it must have been dark in the city of Bethlehem, because you see, they hadn't put up the streetlights yet on the main drag down through Bethlehem, so it was dark. Out in the country, it must have been, as they say, dark, comma, dark. It was really dark. As we all know, the only thing those shepherds had was a torch, a little fire on the end of a stick that could light their way. All they could see was enough space to put one foot in front of the other. All of a sudden, an angel is standing before them with the brightest of light shining not only around him, but so bright that it lights up all of the area around the shepherds, and I'm sure the sheep were wondering what was going on as well. Bible scholars, again, say this angel was Gabriel. Gabriel. This light would even be alarming by us, be alarming to us if we saw that in our face today. It would be kind of like, the only thing I can imagine, the best thing I can say is we're looking directly into the lights of an airplane, the landing light shining in our face. But even as bright as that is, Gabriel was brighter, but yet they could still see Gabriel standing before them. As Luke 2 says, they were terrified. Terrified. But what if? What if they had run in terror at the sight of Gabriel? You and I would probably do the same thing at an event like that. What would have happened if they had run for the hills? Gabriel would have been standing there like, okay, sheep, should I tell you? Or he could reappear in front of a bunch of running shepherds to even terrorize them more and have them change course and run a different way. But they didn't. They stood there. They would have not heard the good news about the birth of the Messiah if they would have run. They would not have traveled to the stables in the little town, the city of David, and saw exactly what Gabriel had told them. If they had run, these lowly, dirty, smelly, lowest of the low in Jewish society, these shepherds would not have had the wonderful opportunity to hear all the angels singing in heaven. And these shepherds of sheep finally see the coming of the great shepherd to all of humanity. My third what if involves Joseph. Joseph. Joseph was a devout Jewish man, as the scriptures say. He was devout, and he knew the law. He knew the Jewish law. He had already picked out his future wife, Mary. The two fathers had gotten together, decided on the price of the dowry. Joseph had already paid that price, and he was back preparing the house or an additional room onto his father's house, as was the Jewish engagement and wedding practice. Then all of a sudden, Joseph is devastated by the news that his bride-to-be is pregnant. There's only one thing to do, which was to end the marriage contract in accordance with the Jewish law, because obviously the love of his life had violated that contract. Joseph had decided, though, to not embarrass her publicly, as was in accordance with the law. He could have had Mary stoned publicly, but he didn't. He loved her so much that the scriptures say that he was going to put her away privately to not embarrass her or her family. But what if? What if? An angel appears to Joseph in a dream and tells Joseph to not be afraid to take Mary as his wife. This angel, you guessed it, Gabriel. Gabriel. The angel first tells him, don't be afraid. Why would the angel say that? Was fear driving Joseph's decisions? Was it fear of public ridicule? Was it fear of being ostracized from the synagogue or from the temple and his family along with it because he broke the Jewish law by marrying a woman who was already pregnant? What if? What if Joseph had discounted that dream as maybe just a bad brisket on the evening meal before? We've all been there. What if he decided the law had to be followed no matter what? What if he had decided that his reputation and that of his family was more important than a dream? What if? What if? Most people knew Joseph, knew of him as well, and how upright he was and how strictly he followed the law. I'm certain when he told some people about the dream that he had had, some people believed him. Some people did not. The angel told Joseph to not be afraid, to go get Mary and take her as his wife. As we read this morning, he did exactly what the angel had instructed him to do. If he had not, think about it. What if he had not, he would not have seen the miracle of the birth of the Messiah, and not been able to gently hold that tiny baby with the hands, the rough, cracked, and worn hands of a carpenter. What if? Fear almost drove Daniel to death. Fear almost caused the shepherds to run. And fear almost caused Joseph to end the marriage contract and put her away privately. Fear drove George Bailey to the brink of taking his own life. Fear can do a lot of harm to us. We have the opportunity, though, just like George Bailey, to see in the scriptures a few what-ifs this morning where fear could have won. My last what-if this morning is with the mother of Jesus, Mary. Most historians believe that Mary was a teenager around the age of 15 or 16 at the time of Jesus' birth. Now, being a teenager, a female teenager, she would have had a lot of responsibilities in the home. When she get up in the morning, she would have lamp lighting responsibilities. She would have meal preparation responsibilities. She would have serving responsibilities to people that had been, that were coming and staying in their home, guests in their home. She would also have the responsibility, along with her mother, to teach the younger children about the books of Moses and about how to sing the Psalms and the books of the prophets. Yes, ironically, she would have had the responsibility to teach these young children about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. But what if? What if Mary did not take her responsibilities seriously? Remember, she's a teenager, and I didn't take anything seriously when I was a teenager. I'm telling you right now. What if she, kind of like me, was constantly getting in trouble because she didn't do her chores and she didn't do them well? What if she was less than appropriate in her worship? Would God have found favor with another woman to bear his son? Yes, but he didn't. Mary did her chores, and she did them well. But when she went above and beyond what was humanly expected of her, Mary devoted herself daily to her duties and did them as if she were doing them for her God. She worshiped when she rose in the morning. She worshiped in her service to others, and she worshiped before she laid her head down on the pillow at nighttime. God found favor with Mary, not because she did her chores well. He found favor with her because of her worship and her devotion. Mary, the mother of Jesus, found favor and is called blessed from that time until now and will be forever because of her worship and devotion. Now in the movie, if George Bailey had never been born, Harry would have drowned in that pond without George being there to save him. The soldiers' lives that Harry saved would have been lost because Harry would not have been there to help him. Mr. Gower, the pharmacist, would have gone to prison for dispensing arsenic to a patient and killing them. People would have been in Mr. Potter's high interest debt forever. Bedford Falls would not have been called Bedford Falls. It would have been called Pottersville. And Mary, the mother of George's children, would have lived never to marry, never burying her and George's children. What would the world be like without you and I in it? That's a strange question. What influences do we unknowingly have on people when we meet them and those we meet every day? What impact will we have on those people, and those people have impact on other people, and so on and so on and so on, especially during this time of year? Back to my initial question and the answer. Fear should not dictate our actions, period. God is ready. God is ready to do some great things through each of us. Daniel did not succumb to his fears. We see the influence that he had. The shepherds did not succumb to their fear and let that fear drive them from hearing the good news. Joseph did not allow the fear of public ridicule to drive him and put Mary away privately. As I've mentioned before, our lives are like a puzzle. And God constructs the puzzle of our lives, and he knows every single piece. What if we daily devote ourselves to serving God? What impact can we have in the spreading of his good news? What if God, here's the question, what if God was a what if God? Think about that one. Thankfully, we do not serve a what if God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let's praise and worship him for his love and his grace, and that he is not a what if God. And worship Christ. Worship Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, for all that he has done for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 224, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. I invite everyone to please stand. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, the invitation is the same every Sunday, that if you'd like to unite with this church, then now's the time for you to come forward and I'll meet you here. If you'd like to hear more of this Christ, God with us, and why we are not subject to what if when it comes to him, then I'll meet you and I'll tell you all about him. If you'd like to spend time at the prayer rail, it is always open for you to spend time there. As we sing hymn number 224.
Thank you.
It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today with all of you. Amen?
Amen.
This is such a wonderful time. There is so much to be said about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to earth for us. He loves us. We live under grace. And on and on and on. He's done so much for us. Let's tell one person, just one person this week, about what God has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Put it on your calendar. Find somebody. God will put that person in your path. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, that didn't come and was born in a grand hotel with officials all around him. Father was born in a stable and placed in a trough, held by the hands of a carpenter, and was born by a Mary that was a devout and worshiped you daily. Help us to take Mary as an example and love you and worship you every day. Mold our hearts like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may touch people for this world and spread your good news until you're coming again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.